Okay, today we're going to do Zvachim Daf Ayin Hey. We left off on Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis. We are at Kodshim B'Kodshim. So the first thing the Gemara is going to do today is we're going to discuss how karbanos of yechidim that are mixed can be brought. I mean, we're discussing all sorts of different tarovas. So one of the tarovas that the Mishnah mentioned is if you have Reuven's karban and Shimon's karban that get mixed together and you don't know whose is whose, so you can bring them both. L'shem, Mishahu, L'shem, whoever the Bailam is. So the Gemara is going to discuss how is that feasible to do? Because after all, don't you need smichas habaylim on the karbanos? The Gemara is going to suggest maybe we're talking about a karban nashim that doesn't require smichas habaylim, and then we're going to analyze whether we might in fact be talking about a karban nashim or whether that's an impossibility. Then on Amud Beis we're going to have three shilos relating to the extent to which we treat a tumuras bechor like a bechor itself. Let's say you take a bechor and you take another animal that's chulin and you say this should be a tumura for the bechor. This should be in exchange for the Bechor. Does it have all the restrictions that a Bechor will have? And we're specifically going to focus on three restrictions. And we're going to bring a Raya from a Braisa to answer those Sfeikos. And then the Gemara is going to discuss if a Kohen is Makdish the Bechor for Betek Abayis, can he weigh it like a butcher would weigh meat? Or do we assume that no, just like a Bechor cannot be weighed normally because it's to be Zayon to the Kedusha of the Bechor, to be weighed in the normal fashion, even when you're Makdish it Betek Abayis, you still have that same problem. Or do we assume no, Betek Abayis, you want to make sure that the weights are precise so that you're not going to be cheating hektish out of anything. And then the Gemara is going to discuss which karbanos can never be mixed with each other because they simply are a different gender or there's something obvious that would distinguish them from each other. And that's been Bezer Shem take us to the Mishnah, and that's probably where we're going to get up to today. So let's begin on the bottom of Daf Ayin Dalet and Beis. The Gemara explains the Mishnah had said Kodshim B'Kodshim. If Reuven's carbon gets mixed in with Shimon's carbon, Min B'Mino, so each one could be brought the Shem Mishahu, whoever the Bailim is. Frak the Gemara Vabai Smicha, but don't you need to do Smichas Abailim on the carbon? So how could you just bring the carbon L'Shem Mishahu for whoever? Some Rav Yosef B'Karbon Nashim. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a carbon that belongs to women, and that doesn't require Smicha because the Torah says Daber El B'nei Yisrael B'Samach, and we dar. That only men do smicha, women do not do smicha. So says the Gemara, oh, so it's got to be talking about a carbon nashim, aval b'carbon anashim lo. The implication would therefore be that if it's a men's carbon, then it wouldn't be possible to be makriv because you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of smicha. So the behemoths would have to graze until they develop a mum, and then you'll have to use the money to bring from that a new carbon from that min. The Rambam writes that that you don't have to do that. You could have one guy be makna his chelek to somebody else, and then they could both be makriv. But either way, you can't just do it. Something has to be done. You can't just bring the korban as is. So Esve Abaye, asks, but wait, we have a braisa korban yachid shenisar b'korban yachid. Let's say you have a korban yachid that's mixed with another korban yachid. I mean, Reuven's korban is mixed with Shimon's korban, or korban tzibur shenisar b'korban tzibur. You have one korban tzibur mixed with another korban tzibur, like the seer of Rosh Chodesh is mixed with the seer of Rosh Hashanah, or korban yachid v'korban tzibur shenisar v'zeh b'zeh. You have a chatos of a yachid mixed with a chatos of a tzibur. Let's say the seer nasi is mixed with the seer of Oli Regalim, so the seer nasi is a chatos yachid, the seer of Oli Regalim is a chatos tzibur. So and that's the example that Rashi gives. Now the reason he gives that example is because a stam chatos yachid is in a keva, a stam chatos tzibur is a zachar, so it wouldn't be shaykh to have them mixed. That's what Rashi says. We're talking about a chatos nasi, which is a zachar, that's mixed with a chatos tzibur, which is also a zachar. That's how Shita Mekubetz explains why Rashi Dafka gives that example of a sir nasi, sir oli regalim. So anyway, so you have a chatos yachid that's mixed with a chatos tzibur. So halacha is no sein arba matanos. You take its dam and you do four zrikos on the four corners of the mizbech, mikol echad ve'echad, from each one of the korbanos. In nasan matana, mikol echad, yatsa. But if you did did only a single matnas dam from each one, you're also yotzei, according to the shita of Beis Hillel, which we learned way earlier, who holds that even a chatos that you do matana achas is mechaper b'diavet. V'im nosan arba mikulon, and if you do four matnas dam from all of them, then you do matana achas shishtayim. Meaning you do a matana on one corner that counts as, so the blood splatters in both corners from one carbon. And then you do a matana on the opposite corner from the other carbon, so it splatters on the other two sides. So yotze, then you yotze. By medvar mamurim, when do we say that lechadchila you need to do four matanos dam from each carbon? That's only shenis arvu chayim. That's only if the carbonos get mixed in with each other while they're still alive, and then you shech them and you makabel the dam in separate cups. So you can take from each coast and should do dalin matanos, aval nisar v'shchutin, but if they get mixed in after they're already shechted and the blood of the two carbonos gets mixed in with each other, no sein arba matanos mikulan. Then you do four matanos at one time from both of the carbonos together, because they're all mixed in a single coast. So since we assume yesh bila, we assume that they're all totally absorbed in with each other since it's a mixture of liquids. So when you do the matanos at one time, you're putting from each carbon, so you could do rest assured that you're doing it properly from each carbon that requires matana. But if you hold ein bila, meaning we don't view it as if it's totally mixed, it's totally fused together, so then it could be that when you take the dam from the kos, and you're only really taking dam of one of the carbonos, so it's not going to help to do arba matanos from the dam of that's in the kos. But if you do one matana from all the dam in the coast, you yotze, that's shita spesil matana achas mechab b'diavet. Rabbi Omer, roenes ha-matana im yesh ba k'delezek she'rovim la psula. We have to look at how much dam you used. If it was enough, that it would have been enough blood from each of the carbonos, then it's kosher and you get a kapara. But if you don't have a sufficient quantity of dam that would be enough for both carbonos, then it's going to be possible you're not going to have a kapara. So bottom line is, what are we trying to get out of this brisa? Katani, it says in the brisa that by the din of tarovus of a mixture of two carbonos yachid and the din of tarovus of two carbonos sibur, that yachid dumya de sibur, meaning since it gave both of those examples, both of those cases, it sounds like they're similar to each other. Ma tzibur gavri, af yachid gavri. Well, one thing we know for sure about a tzibur is that it is men. It's a carbon of men. It's not a carbon of women, because women have no chelek in the carbonos of the tzibur. That's what Rikiv Eger writes in Tshuvas and Simon Tess, that women don't have a chelek in the carbonos of the tzibur, that whenever you have a carbon tzibur, it's only men. So therefore, mimela, the carbon yachid that the Bryce is talking about is also talking about men. So, and what do you see? And nevertheless, the Bryce says that you shech them, and you do matana matnas dam from each carbon, and the bailim is yotzei der chiyuv. Aye, what about smicha? There's no smicha's bailim, so you can't tell me, oh, it's talking about karbonos nashim. It's not. We know that it's talking about karbonos of men that normally require smicha. So this is a kasha of Yosef, who thought that our mishnah must only be talking about karbonos nashim that don't require smicha, but that when two karbonos of men get mixed in with each other, then there's no way to fix the tarovis. This price tells us, yes, there is, that there is a way to fix the tarovis, even by men. So Amar Rav of Tizbra Hamataretzdihi, well, you bring me a raya from this price. So this price is not, anyway, requires a little bit of fixing. This price is obviously not fully accurate anyway. Why? The Katani, because it says when it comes to the din, lechatchila, you have to put dalid matanos mikol echad, bamed var mamurim, kishenesarvu chayin avon nesarvu shchutin lo. That the price said, oh, when do you do these dalid matanos? That's if they're mixed while they're still alive. But if they're only mixed when they're shechted, then it's not so. Then you would do matana from the combination. So that's what you tried to prove, that if they're mixed while they're still alive, without smicha, that you're still able to be makriv them. Mali chayim, mali shchutim. But let me ask you, does this price make any sense? What difference does it make whether they were alive or already dead? You know, just like when they're mixed when they're alive, lecharchili do dal matanos from each one of them, so too, if they're mixed after they're shechted, there's a way to do dal matanos from each carbon. Like if the not all the dam is nesariv in one kos, each all the dam is put in a separate kos, and the kosos are confused with each other, and you don't know which kos is Reuven's kos of dam and which kos is Shimon's kos of dam. Lecharchila, you could put from each one of them four matanos, and it would be fine. So why would there be a difference between nesar v'chaim and nesar v'shchutim? Just like nesar v'chaim, each one remains an independent entity. Nisar v'shchutim, each one can remain an independent entity. You just can't identify which one is whose entity. But you have two separate kosos, each one with the blood of only one animal. So there's no reason to be mechalik. Now, el halchi kamar, the braisa must have meant something different. That bamed varim amurim. When do we say you need to do dala matanos from each carbon? She nisar v'shchutim ke'ein chayim. When it's mixed together as shchutim, in a way that's similar to a mixture of chayim, in the sense that they're not really mixed together, they're just confused for each other, we just can't identify which one is which. Bekosos, meaning you have a kos of dam that's shaykh to Reuven's carbon, a kos of dam that's shaykh to Shimon's carbon, and you just don't know which kos is which. Aval, bevolel, but if they're mixed together, mamish, where the liquids are mixed together, then nosin arba matanos lekulam. Then you only need to do one time from the combination of the two for matlas dam, because we assume that there's total bila, that they're totally absorbed with each other, they're totally mixed with each other, and therefore you're covering both carbonos when you do dala matlas dam from the liquid mixture. And if you do only a single matan for all of them, you're yotze, because so once the brisa is of course not speaking specifically when the carbonos are mamish mixed when they're alive, it's even talking about after the smicha and shchita. So there's no raya that when carbonos that require smicha are mixed, that there would be a takana for the tarovis. Meaning, what was our whole raya? That we're talking about a carbon yachid with a carbon yachid that's mixed together, and look, there's still a way to resolve the situation. So it must be that the smicha issue is not going to be crippling to us. But no, maybe this braisa was talking about that they're mixed after the smicha was already done. If they're mixed after the smicha was already done, of course the smicha issue is not going to be crippling. But maybe when you have a live animal mixed with another live animal, where obviously smicha was not yet done, maybe then there's not going to be a takana. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, you know, we had mentioned the Shita of Rebbe, that Ronas Amatana Yishma Kedelzak Shera Vimlav Psula, that you have to look at the quantity of the dam. If there's enough to represent both behemos, a proper matnas dam from each behema, then it's kosher. Otherwise, it's going to be pasul. Umi isle the Rebbe hai svara? Does Rebbe really hold that there's a shear of zrikas dam? Vatanya, but there's a brisa that we're going to have later on daf pei, when it talks about sprinkling the para aduma mixture of the ashes and the water on someone who's tame meis, that amar Rebbe, ledivrei Rabbi Eliezer, Hazal Kolshu Mitaheras. Rebbe says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who has a machlokas in Maseches Parah with the Rabbanon, the background information is as follows. In the ninth parak of Maseches Parah, when it talks about the kli that had the mechatos that was holy, and a little bit of regular water falls into that kli, mayim she'enon mekudash, in regular water, the Rabbanon hold all of that mayim is now pasul and can no longer be used for the sprinkling of the paraduma ashes, because yesh bila, we assume that it's all absorbed with each other, and we consider the kasher mayim and the pasul mayim to be totally ma'urav, totally mixed in with each other, and since there's a shear for the mayim that has to be sprinkled on the tamei person, we have to be worried that maybe you're not sprinkling the proper shear of mayim, of kasher mayim. And even if you're going to be mazah twice, it's not going to help, because maybe the hazaos are not mitztarif with each other. You can't do a sprinkling once and a sprinkling again, and each one has a little less than the shear. It's not going to help. They're not going to be mitztarif. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could be mazah twice on the tamei person, and he'll become tahar. And so Rebbe explains that Rebbe Eliezer holds hazo'a kol shuhu metaheras, that there's no shear, that even a tiniest hazo'a is enough to be metaher, and hazo'a in a tzricha shear, and that's because there's no need for a shear by hazo'a. Not only if the hazo'a is from mayim kedushin alone does it not require a shear, but even hazo'a mechza kosher mechza pasul, even if what you're sprinkling is some combination of kosher and pasul waters, it's still good enough. You still don't need a shear, and just do it twice, and each time it's kol shu of the and it will be matar the tummy person. So what do you see? That according to Rebbe, when you're maza on a tummy person, there is no shear, just like by the sprinkling of the mei parah, there is no shear of the hazaa. So the Gemara makes a leap over here. So it's mistaver that when you do Zrikas Hadam on the Karnas HaMizbeach, there's also no shear. And therefore we have a question. Why does Rebbe say in the Braisa that only if there was a shear, a nesina, for both karbonos, is the Zrika going to be kosher? Only if you do a matnas dam that represents a proper shear nesina for both karbonos, only then is it going to be kosher. Rebbe holds you don't require a shear. Says the Gemara, two answers. Number one, l'dvarav de Rabbi Eliezer ka'amar. Rebbe says that hazaa does not require a shear. That's only within the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. But Rebbe himself doesn't agree. Rebbe would hold like the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and hold that hazaa does require a shear. So that's one answer the Gemara has. And the more obvious answer of the Chora is that there's a big difference between being nosin dam on the mizbeach and being mazah the mechatas. Now, a couple of things over here. First of all, we're going to have machlokas amaraim later on. Why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need to do the hazaa twice? Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer holds that there's no shear required and hazaa kol shu, and it's all fine. So why would you have to do it twice if there's yesh bila, it's totally absorbed with each other, and therefore every molecule of dam that of mechatas that you sprinkle is a combination of mechatas and pasul waters, and as long as you have a kol shu of mechatas, that's good enough. Then why on earth would you have to do it twice? So the Gemara is going to have a sugi about this in about 5 days from now, and Daf Pei, where Rava is going to say that the reason is that it's a knas, that we make a knas on the sprinkler, that he shouldn't benefit from having pasul waters get mixed in with the kosher waters, and then at some later date he might do it on purpose, and thereby, I guess, increase the lifespan of that mechatas, because you know paradumas didn't come along very often. So if you can keep on diluting it and using the mechatas for more and more situations, so then you're not going to need as many paradumas. So as a knas, not to make sure the person doesn't do this on purpose. Rav Ashi explains that Rav Lozer holds that ein bila, so hazaa achas is not going to be enough because maybe all of it is from the pasul water. But if you do it twice, one of them has to be from the Mayim HaMekudashim, because there was only a culture of Mayim Psulin that got mixed in with it. Quite a chiddush. But okay, we'll see that Sugya Bezer Hashem in a few days. Another important point over here is that we had said that according to Rebbe, that Rebbe himself was only speaking within Rabbi Eliezer. Hazaa in Etzri Chashir is Rabbi Eliezer. But Rebbe himself holds like the Rabbanan, that hazaa requires a shear, just like Nesinas Dam on the Mizbeach requires a shear. Hazaa also requires a shear. Now, in the Mishnah Achrona, in the ninth paragraph Parah, he just discusses. It's very nice to say that hazaa requires a shear. We don't find anywhere what the shear is. Meaning, what is it, like a revius? Like, where do we ever find a shear of hazaa? So the Mishnah Achrona suggests that since it doesn't say what the shear is, you have to assume, you know, tafasta merubah lo tafasta, that it's the smallest possible shear imaginable. And what's that? Wet enough that it will make the whatever it's sprinkled on feel wet. Not even enough to be matpiach, tafeach amanasat piach, to then moisten someone that touches the person that the mechatas was sprinkled on, just enough that he feels the moisture. And feel that there's no shear of hazaa, then it just needs to leave some sort of impression on the person, even if it doesn't even feel moist at all. Which we're talking a very, very minuscule shiurim over here. Okay, but that's sugya. Now that we go on, the Mishnah said that nisarvu b'charu meiser, that if an ola or a shlamim gets mixed in with a b'charu meiser that don't have a pidyon, so what do you have to do? You have to let all the animals graze until they develop a mum, and then you eat them all b'kedushas b'char u'meiser, and that's how you handle the situation. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, we know that b'char has a certain kedusha. What if you do a tamura to a b'char? Would the tamura of a b'char have the same kedusha of a b'char and have the same restrictions of a b'char or not? And there are three specific cases that we're going to ask about. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, b'char lebeis shamay ein ma'achilin lenidos. According to Beis Shammai, a b'char that's a balmum, b'zman hazeh, cannot be eaten by a nida. Why? So there's a discussion in Maseches B'charos Daf Lamed Gimel, because the Torah compares b'char to chaz v'shok. Pasuk says, v'saram yelach k'chazei hatnufa u'kishok hayamin l'chayia. And when it talks about b'char, it says, it should be just like chaz v'shok. So just like chaz v'shok cannot be eaten by nidos. How do I know that chaz v'shok can't be eaten by nidos? Because the Torah says, kol tahar b'vei. So we learn that a b'char also can't be eaten by needles. Good, that's Beis Shammai Shita about a b'char, that a b'char cannot be eaten by a nida. But t'murasa mahu, what if you take an animal that's chulin and you put it next to a b'char and say, let the kedusha of the b'char transfer onto this chulin animal? So it has to be eaten by the bailim with its with a mum. It cannot be cannot be brought on the mizbeach. So it can't be eaten by a nida, or can it not be eaten by a nida? There is a machlokas rishonim. Who eats the basar of the b'char hatmura? The Achronim will point out that Tosos and Dibur Masal B'char sounds like the Bailim, who's the Yisrael, is the one that actually eats the meat of the Tmuras B'char. Obviously the B'char itself goes to the Kohen, but the meat of the Tmuras B'char is eaten by the Bailim, and he doesn't have to give it to a Kohen. It's not one of the Matnas Kuna. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Tmura Paragimel Halacha Beis writes that the Tmura also has to be given to a Kohen, and the Kohen is called the Bailim of the Tmura. Karen Ora just has two major kashas on Tosos, that the Bailim is allowed to eat it himself. Number one, where do they get the idea that Tamura's Bukhar could be eaten by a Bailim to Yisrael? The Mishnah in Tamura says that it has the status of Bukhar. So why would we think for the most important halacha that it doesn't have the status of Bukhar? Mishnah in Tamura says that a Tamura's Bukhar is like a Bukhar. So now you're going to tell me, yeah, but as far as who gets it, it's not like a Bukhar. That's like the most important part. Second of all, if a Tamura's Bukhar can be eaten by the Bailim of Yisrael, because it's not one of the Matnas Kuna, then what's the Gemara's whole suffix over here? Can an Isha Nida eat it? Of course an Isha Nida can eat it. It's not Manas Kuna. It doesn't have any meaning on the most fundamental level. It's not the same as the Bechar. So Karenora leaves these kashas as Tzarekhin. Very, very challenging kashas. Also, second issue about a Tumuras Bechar. Bechar in Onifta. The halacha is that a Bechar cannot be redeemed. Its Kedusha does not go away through Pidyon. The Kedusha just gets transferred onto the money. That's clear in Maseches Tumura. And the reason it doesn't have pidyon is because the Torah says, Rashi writes, Ach b'chor shor o b'chor kesev o b'chor eiz lo tifteh. And by Meisr Rol says, lo yuge'el. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in the third parak of Tamura says that the reason is, based on Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, that a b'chor and a Meisr could be eaten as a balemum by their owners, meaning a b'chor to a kohen, a Meisr to the actual balem. And that's why you don't have to be pulled to them. As opposed to other kachim, if you're not pulled to them, then they'll have no use, they'll be useless. So you can't be makr of them because they have a mum, you can't eat them because the hektish is not yotzei l'chulin. So that's why it has to be that there's a din of pidyon by other korbanos. But there's no hechrech to make a din of pidyon when it comes to a b'char and meiser. So now, knowing that a b'char is not nifta, the kedusha does not leave the b'char when you try to be pode it for money. So t'murasa mahu, what's the din if you do a t'mura for a b'char? Does the t'mura animal, is it subject to pidyon? Can it be yotzei l'chulin? And then a third suffix about a t'mura's b'char. B'char einu nishkal b'litra. If a kohen Kohen wants to sell the Bechorin, he's not allowed to weigh the meat in the normal way that meat salesmen, that butchers would weigh meat, because that's considered a zilzul in the Kedushas of Bechorin. It's only by Psulei HaMikdashim that we allow doing that, because the profits from selling Psulei HaMikdashim goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So we want to make sure that we get every last penny out of it. But over here, where the profits are only going to go to a Kohen, we're not so makbid that he gets every last penny. We're more makbid about the Kedusha of the Bechorah not being mezalzel in it. So great, that's as far as the Bechorah itself. Tmuraso mahu. What about a Tmuras Bechorah? Does the Kedusha of a Tmuras Bechorah equal the Kedusha of a Bechorah in the sense that you're not allowed to weigh the meat in the normal way? Briskorov points out, Lechora, this suffix and the previous suffix are the same. Because if the Tmura has pidyon and it could be Yotze Lechulin, so of course you could weigh it in the normal way. And if it doesn't have pidyon, it's never going to be yotzei l'chulin, so then you shouldn't be able to weigh it in the normal way, because it's always going to be kadosh. Okay, so now let's try to answer these three questions. Again, three basic questions about tumuras b'char, and to what extent it matches the halach of b'char. According to Beis Shammai, that a b'char cannot be eaten by a nida, can tumuras b'char be eaten by a nida? Since we assume b'char is eino nifta, is tumuras b'char also eino nifta? And since in order to not be mezalzel in the kedusha of the b'char, you're not allowed to weigh it in the normal way, is tumuras b'char also not allowed to be weighed in the normal way? Amar Rava Tanya, we have a b'raisa. B'char u'maiser mishuhumumu osin tumura. A b'char u'maiser, from when the moment they get a mum, you can make a tumura for them. If you buy a behemas chulin and you say, let this take the place of the b'char, the maiser, the kedusha is going to be chal of b'char u'maiser on that tumura. U'tumura san kayotze behen. And there's the key. The tumura that you just made for the b'char or maiser has full kedusha of the b'char or maiser. So you see in the b'raisa that all of the dinim that emanate from the fact that there's kedushas b'char is chal on the tumura as well. And therefore, just like a b'char itself cannot be eaten by nida, the tumura's b'char cannot be eaten by nida, just like a b'char itself cannot be nifta, the tumura's b'char cannot be nifta, just like the b'char itself cannot be nishkal, belitra cannot be weighed in the normal way, so to tumura's b'char cannot be weighed in the normal way. Now, Tosos raises the question over here in Dibur Maskel B'char, why does Rava have to be poshate the suffix of Rav Berchama from a b'raisa? It's true, the b'raisa does a good job, meaning the b'raisa really, it does say it explicitly, but why do you need the b'raisa? You know, there's a Mishnah Maseches Tumura and Daf Chaf Aleph that says Ma bein b'chor u'maiser lebein kol ha'kachim. What's the difference between b'chor u'maiser on one end and all other kachim? And one of them is v'yeshlan pidyon u'l'tmurasein pidyon chutz min b'chor u'maiser. All other kachim, there's pidyon for them and for their tmura, except for b'chor u'maiser. So you see b'feirish that there is no tmura for. I'm sorry, that there is no pidyon, rather, for a tumuras b'char. So why do I need a b'raisa? It's a mishnah that there's no pidyon for a tumuras b'char, and therefore tumuras b'char is full kedushas b'char. So Tosfos suggests that when the mishnah says chutz min b'char v'maiser, it's not going on the tumuras b'char v'maiser. It's saying that a b'char v'maiser themselves. A little bit challenging to read the Mishnah that way, but that's what it says you have to say. Otherwise, why would we just bring a b'raisa over here instead of just bringing an explicit Mishnah? I guess the very fact that it's possible to have read the Mishnah that way is enough to want to bring a b'raisa where it's yet more explicit, where there's no other possibility of reading this b'raisa. Now, before we move on to the next suffix of the Gemara relating to Kedushas Bechor, important to point out this idea of not weighing the litra, not selling it in the normal way, weighing it in the normal way when you are selling it because it's a bizayon to the Kedusha, comes up in other contexts as well. There's a tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi in some Kuvchav Gimel about a kehila in Amsterdam where they used to, whenever they wanted to sell a Sefer Torah, they would announce in the Beis HaKnesses that they have a Sefer Torah to sell, and everyone would start bidding on it the same way you would sell anything else, like you would sell Makomos in the Beis HaKnesses, or you'd auction off anything else. So some people made a macha'a that they shouldn't do that, because even when you sell an Eved, the Rambam Paskins in the first paragraph of Hilchos Avadim, that whether a person is selling himself as an Eved, or Beis Din is selling him, he's not allowed to be sold b'farhesia on on the Evan HaMekach, on the place where they would sell him, and the way the other Avadim are sold, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yimkru Mimkaris Evan, that he should only be sold B'derech Tzina and B'derech Kavod, right? The Chacham Tzvi quotes from Nimkar B'Gnevaso, and the Achronim point out that it's better to bring from Mocher Atzmo, that even the Mocher Atzmo is, you know, it has to be treated with such dignity. So a Kavod Sefer Torah shouldn't be less than the Kavod of an Eved who's being sold. If by an Eved the Torah is makbid not to humiliate him and to only sell him Bitzina, so for sure if you have to sell the Sefer Torah, it should only be done Bitzina. And the Chacham is so careful about the design of Kisvei HaKodesh that you have to be mechabed Sefer Torah and all Kisvei HaKodesh. Right, we're so makbid about Shemos and everything else. Five times Jewish Times printed a picture, and in the background of the picture there's Yudke Vavke, so everyone's been makbid to cut out the Yudke Vavke and put it in Shemos. Yeah, we treat Shemos very, very respectfully. We treat Kisvei Kodesh very respectfully, but here we're just going to make public announcements about selling the Sefer Torah. So Rove of the Achronim disagree with the Chacham Tzvi, and they say, no, it's absolutely mutter to sell the Sefer Torah in a public way. Berki Yosef quotes the Chacham Tzvi, and he says, Avomarenu Arav Zera Avram, Arav Shvus Yaakov, Arav Panamiros, Chalku al Divrei Chacham Tzvi Halalu. He quotes all the Gedolei Achronim who disagree, and are matir say selling the Sefer Torah that way. In Tshuvas HaRadvaz, or Chaim Simin Aleph, he brings a raya from our sugya to the basic svara of the Chacham Tzvi, that it is in fact problematic, because our Gemara tells us that a Bechor Behima Torah, you cannot be mezalzel in it, and even if it develops a moment, you're allowed to sell it, not be italiz, not be shokel belitra, not to sell it in the normal way, because the hana'a from its profits is going to go to the Kohen, it's not going to go to Hagdish, and the Kohen gets the money himself, so he'll lose a couple of bucks at the, you know, not to be mevaze the kedusha of the animal. So the fact that it's sold, it could be sold for more money, since it's only going to benefit the coin, we're not going to be mezalzel in that for that sake. And that's different than other psalim kedushim where the hana'a goes to hegdish, and therefore you are allowed to be mezalzel. So the Gemara discusses some makdish bechor we're about to see to lebedek abayis, where now the money is going to go to the Bedek HaBayis, are you allowed to be mezalzel and sell it in a public way or in a normal way or not? And the Gemara explains that if the zilzul is in guf echad and the revach is in guf acher, that the zilzul is going to be done on this animal, but the benefit is going to be done from somewhere else, then everyone would agree you cannot be mezalzel to bring profit to Hekdish. When you sell the Sefer Torah by doing some sort of raffle, that causes a zilzul of the Sefer Torah in order to be merviach the Beis HaKnesses or other Tashmishei Kedusha that you're going to do with that money. So the revach is going to a different spot, and therefore you should not be mezalzel the Sefer Torah for that sake. So the Radvaz adds that that's aside from the general iser of selling a Sefer Torah just to fix up a Beis Medrash, which is a Kedusha Kala, keneged the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Okay, now to really understand what that Radvaz was talking about, I should have waited a little bit longer. We need to see the next little piece. So back in the Gemara, Boi Rami Bar Chama, Hitvis Bechor, Bedek Abayis, Lebedek Abayis. If a person is Matvis Bechor, the Kohen is Makdish, the Bechor that has a mum, to be used instead for Bedek Abayis. Mao Sheyishko Belitra, can you sell it in the normal way? That's generally considered a zilzal. Do we assume Rav Chadehaktish Adif? We need to make every last penny, that now that the money's not going to the Kohen personally, it's going to Bedek Abayis, we need to make every last penny and therefore sell it in the normal way. Or maybe we should be more concerned about the denigration of the Kedusha of the Bechor. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Razvida Toshma will bring you a raya. The Mishnah says, Nisarvu b'Bechor Meiser. Our Mishnah says that if an Olah or Shlamim gets mixed in with a Bechor Meiser, Yiru Achi Yistavu, let them all graze until they develop a mum via Achlu ki Bechor Kameiser. And they'll all eat with the same Kedusha, they'll all be eaten with the same Kedusha as a Bechor or a Meiser. Lav lemeimra de'enu nishkal v'litra. Doesn't this mean to say that even after it develops a mum, you're not allowed to weigh it and sell it in the normal way, even though an ola or a shlamim that it develops a mum, the money goes to Hegdish, and if you don't weigh it, it's going to cause a loss to Hegdish. Nevertheless, since it got mixed with a Bechor Meiser, we can't be mezalzel in Kedushas Bechor Meiser just for the sake of benefiting the ola or the shlamim. So l'chara, the same is true when you're makdish Bechor Bal Mum lebedek abayis, that you shouldn't be allowed to be mezalzel in it just to squeeze out a few more dollars for bedek abayis. So Rafuna Rechizka Tamid Rabbi Yirmiya Amri, they both answered, they said it's not a raya. Mi dami, can you compare the case of the Mishnah to the case of Rami Bar Chama Safek? Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah, it was different karbanos that were mu'urav together. So shtei kedushos u'shnei gufim. You have two separate kedushos of zvachim, of an ola and a shlamim, that belong to Hagdish, and a kedushos bechor, where the money goes to the kohen. And you also have two separate bodies. There's the two kedushos are not on the same behema. Each behema has a separate kedusha. So the Chum say it's not right to be mezalzel in the behema that has kedushas bechor, so that you can accrue a benefit for hegdish from a different behema that is kedushas vachim. But hacha, but in our case where you're matfis a bechor bal mum lebedek abayis, you take the bechor itself and you say now this is designated lebedek abayis. Shtei kedushos gufechad. It's two kedushos, kedushos bechor and kedushos bedek abayis, but it's in the same animal. Maybe because it's in the same animal, you're allowed to be mezalzel in it a little bit in order that it could produce its highest benefit for the bedek abayis. So maybe we're not as concerned about the zilzel. Mask of Rabbi Yosef Ravin. So Rabbi Yosef Ravin asks on Rami Bar Chama, you know, it says that you're not allowed to be mezalzel in kedushos bechor. What's the suffix over here that if you now are matfis at lebedek abayis, all of a sudden it's going to be mutter to be mezalzel? Ma ilu amar haftu li bechor shetfis lebedek abayis klum shomun lo. If a person would say to Beis Din, redeem for me a bechor, this bechor bal mum, that the kohen is matfis lebedek abayis, so that the bechor will become chulin and it will be mutter begiz vavod, and it will be worth more money and the Hegdish will benefit from that, would we listen to him to do such a thing, to violate some of the rules of what you need to do with the Bechor just so that it will be more beneficial to Bet Kabayis? Certainly not. So if that's the case, just like you're not allowed to be poded it, even though it's going to benefit Hegdish because it will demand more money, you're also not allowed to be mezalzel it, even though it will benefit Hegdish. So the Gemara says that's not really such a kasha. Have to, if they were from Pidyon Bechor, you could ask on Rami Bar Chama, but meaning you can't really ask on Rami Bar Chama. You can't really ask on Rami Bar Chama from case of Pidyon Bechor. Rachmana Amri lo tifta. Of course, they're not going to listen to you to be podit. It's a pasuk. You're not allowed to be podit it. You're not allowed to be podit Bechor. So of course, between a case where there's Revach of Hegdish and when there's no Revach of Hegdish, you can't be poded, end of story. You can't violate an Isser in the Torah. But by being Shokel Belitra, that's an Isser Drabanan. We're concerned about the Bizayan of the Bechor, so we make an Isser Drabanan not to weigh it in the normal way. But maybe when there's Revach LeHegdish, we're willing to forego that which is normally Aser Midrabanan. That's at least according to Rashi, who holds that the weighing of Belitra is only in Isser Derabanan. If you hold it not that way, like some Rishonim do, like the Shittim Betzos and Tosos, you have to explain this Gemara a little differently. So the Gemara says, okay, let's answer Rami Bar Chama's question a little differently. Ella Amar Rav Yami Klum Hiknazet Ella Masha Kanulo. You know, this Kohen who's trying to be Makdish Lebechor Lebedek Abayis, Lechora can only be Makdish what he owns in the Bechor. He doesn't have the right to be Mezalzel in the Bechor when he's trying to sell it. So Mimela, Bedek Abayis shouldn't have the right to do that either, even though it's to benefit Hegdish. But Bedek Abayis only owns whatever rights the Kohen ever had in the first place. It is interesting that we're assuming that it's a Kohen who's being makdish the Bechor. The reason we make that assumption that it's Dafka a Kohen, Rashi writes that it's a Kohen who's being makdish the Bechor for the Bet Gabayis. Briskarov explains the Bailim are also able to be makdish the Bechor for the Bet Gabayis. You know, it's a Mishnah Maseches HaRachin that tells us in Dafka of Chesem Beis that a Bechor, whether it's a Tam or a Bal Mum, Machrimin also. And even though the Gufa Bechor is not Mukhram, it belongs to the Kohen, because after all, it belongs to the Kohen, so the Bailim can't really do anything. A person can be makdish tovah shena shalo, but the tovah hanah that the bialim would get from the bechor, he can be makdish. So and that the damim themselves, the bialim will give to the kohen to be the kabayis. So the Mishnah is talking about before the bechor is given to a kohen, and nevertheless the bialim apparently has the ability to be makdish it. So the reason Rashi over here says that we're dafka talking about where the kohen is makdish the bechor the bedik abayis is because the case of Rami Bar Chama is if the hekdish is it can be weighed belitra, meaning we're talking about after the guf habechor already went to bedik abayis, and that's only going to be shaykh by the kohen himself giving the bechor to bedik abayis. Because the bialim could be makdish, he can only be makdish tovas hanah, he can't be makdish the actual guf habechor. Okay, last piece before the Mishnah now. Says our Mishnah. Hakol yicholim lehis arev. Our Mishnah said that everything can get mixed in with each other, and you won't be able to identify what's what, except for chatas and nasham, because they're different genders. Well, Mishnah chatas vasham dahay zachar vayin akeva. Yeah, an asham is only male, and a chatas is only female. But chatas volanami, and ol is also only male, and chatas is female. So shouldn't that be another example? Says Gemara, no, because ika siir. Nasi. There is a way that there's not going to be a gender difference between them, because what if it's a seir chatos of a nasi, which is a male, and gets mixed in with an ola, which is also a male. So says Gemara, chatos vashem nami ika, but by chatos vashem also there's a way that you won't be able to tell the difference, by seir nasi, when you have a seir chatos of a nasi and an ashem, which are both males. Says Gemara, hai seir v'hai tzemer. No, chatos of a nasi comes from a goat. A seir doesn't have any tzemer, doesn't have any wool, it just says hair. An asham is brought from an isle, which has wool. So again, you should be able to tell the difference between them quite easily. So it says, Pesach v'asham nami lo mi'ariv. Well then, a carbon Pesach and a carbon asham also, you shouldn't be able to tell the difference. Not because of gender, because hai ben shana, carbon Pesach has to be no more than 1 year old, vai ben shtei shanim. Whereas an asham is dafka brought from a 2 year old animal, so shouldn't you be able to tell the difference? It says, two answers. Ika asham nazir v'asham tzara. First of all, Nashim Nazir, Nashim Tzora are also 1 year old. So that would be an Ashim and a Pesach that are mixed together that are indistinguishable. The Ibai Seima, Ika Ben Shana, Demechsi Ben Shteshana, Ika Ben Shteshana, Demechsi Ben Shana. Sometimes you have an animal that has genes where it's very, very large. Sometimes you have an animal that's very, very tiny. So it's not always true that you'll be able to tell the age of the animal just by looking at it. Okay, Beth Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.